Turn. I don't want Pearl to get the wrong idea. But you're fucking her now, right? He paused over the line. Technically, no. My eyebrow rose at his response. No. I tried a few times, but she said she didn't want it. I could have just forced it on her, but something stopped me. I never considered myself to be compassionate, whether I fucked her or not. Her situation wouldn't change, but I guess I felt guilty or something. I couldn't do it either with Button, but he didn't know that. Then why do you still have her? I told her I was going to take her back to Tristan. There was no point in keeping her when she stayed in her room all the time. But she asked me to keep her. She said she would make it worth my while if I did.
So you blackmailed her?
I shook my head. No, he said quickly. That's not how it happened. I treat her much better than Tristan does. She can eat when she wants, bathe when she wants, and I don't smack her around. I'm not into that shit.
Anymore.
Kane didn't object to the insult because he knew he earned it. She's treated like a human being when she's with me. Tristan, well, let's just say he makes bones look tame.
Now I really did feel bad for the girl.
But there's nothing any of us can do. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time, unfortunately.
She really must be something. I can't see why you'd agree to this deal unless she was.
Kane didn't say anything. I thought it was odd that Kane was a sympathetic person. I considered myself to be ruthless, but he made me look tame. The fact that he kept this woman around without getting his dick wet was a little unbelievable.
Are you fond of her, or something?
I think she's sexy. Thought it the first time I saw her at the airport, but that's it.
My relationship with Pearl started off the same way, until it changed. Pearl is going to be pissed at me, but at least I tried.
She'll have to get over it. This happens to thousands of women all over the world. It's shitty, but it'll never change. We can't save them all. She's lucky we saved her.
If she saved herself.
Yeah. She's probably not going to want to talk to me.
Me neither. I'm sleeping in a different bedroom tonight.
Kane chuckled. That's rough. It would be the first time I'd slept without her since we got married. It sucked. Hopefully she'll come around.
Eventually. She couldn't be pissed at me forever. It wasn't like I personally had anything to do with trafficking. It had never been a business I was interested in. I wouldn't say my living was completely innocent, but we did our best to stay moral as much as possible. I didn't sell my stuff to known terrorists. I hung up and tossed the phone onto the table. The fire was going in the fireplace, and I had a whole decanter of scotch to drink. Button was in the master bedroom down the hall, probably already in bed but unable to sleep. I didn't want her to sleep alone. She usually got cold in the middle of the night, and she used my body as a heater. Her leg was always wrapped around mine by the time I woke up in the morning. She was all over me, actually. Not to mention, she still had nightmares once in a while. She convulsed in bed, and I was there to chase the terror away. As much as I wanted to be there for her, I also wanted her to be there for me. I relied on the beautiful sound of her heavy breathing to lull me to sleep. Her soft hair usually found its way across my chest, and it smelled like the roses just outside my window. Sometimes she sighed in the middle of the night, a sexy intake of air that told me she was dead asleep. Despite everything she'd been through, she was still so innocent. Her lips parted and showed her small teeth, and her eyelashes were thick and dark against her face. I wanted to be beside her just so I could witness the sight. Not to mention we'd be making love right now. I knew a dry spell was on the way. I just hoped I could be patient enough and control my carnal instincts. My fingers twitched as I pictured my hand around her neck. My heart rate picked up when I imagined shoving her on the bed and yanking her buttons down so I could fuck her hard while her ass was in the air. But I couldn't do anything like that. Patience was a virtue, and I was quickly learning that. Button and I didn't speak the next day. I went to work without saying goodbye, and I spent my whole afternoon thinking about her instead of running the winery. While I understood her point of view better than she realized, she was putting me in a difficult position and holding me to standards I never agreed to. We couldn't go long without speaking, especially not fucking, but I wasn't going to apologize for something I didn't do. The world was a shitty place with shitty people in it. I wasn't much better than the men she despised. Perhaps she forgot the man she married. When I came home, Lars greeted me by the door.
"Where would you like your dinner, sir?"
It was obvious by the way he spoke, Pearl had already instructed him to bring her dinner to her room, away from me. "I'm not sure yet. I'll let you know." He gave a swift nod.
"Good luck, Your Grace."
"Thanks. I'm gonna need it." I went to our bedroom upstairs and found her on the couch in front of the fireplace. She was reading again, but she didn't look up when I entered the room. She probably just assumed I was going to change, then disappear. I walked up to her and stood with my hands in my pockets. She ignored me, her eyes still scanning the page from left to right. "Pearl." I didn't call her by her nickname when she was this hostile. Button was a beautiful name. It deserved better than this stupid fight. Again, she ignored me. My nostrils flared and my temper roared. I had an ego, and I didn't appreciate being ignored by anyone. I snatched the book out of her hand and chucked it into the fire.
"Hey!"
"Good. Now I have your attention." I sat on the other couch and listened to the fire crackle once it devoured the pages. It leapt up an inch higher once the extra material was thrown on top.
"I was reading that."
"Hope you didn't like it too much." Her blue eyes narrowed.
"If this is your way of getting me to forgive you, you're wasting your time."
I almost laughed. "I don't want your forgiveness. That implies I did something to break your trust, which I haven't." Now her eyes burned hotter than the fire.
"You're an ass."
I told myself to be more patient with her, but that was going to shit, quick. "You know what kind of business I run? I deal with men who chop off heads for a living. I sell guns to bad guys so they can kill other bad guys. This isn't a newsflash to you."
"Yeah, I know."
"How do you think I paid for this mansion you sit around in all day?" I cocked my head to the side, my fire matching her own. "How do you think I pay for all the fine clothes you love so much, the delicious dinners you eat every night? You don't get to object to what I do, but then enjoy all the perks it comes with. That's not how it works." Her jaw dropped.
"That's not what I'm..."
I held up a finger. "I'm talking. Now you listen." She looked like she wanted to slap me. "I already heard everything you said. Not once did I disagree with it. But travesties like this come with the territory. I've worked with lots of men who own slaves. Tristan isn't the first, nor will he be the last. If I discriminated against everyone who did, I wouldn't have a business to run. Is it wrong? Yes. Is it cruel? Absolutely. But I deal with men who do much worse things. I'm sorry if that hurts you. I understand why you're so repulsed by it. I'm not a fan of it either. But there's nothing I can do." Her eyes filled with a slight film of moisture, but they weren't tears of heartbreak, they were tears of fury. With all of that being said, I talked to Kane about Adelina's situation. Her intensity halted for just a moment. I asked Kane if we could buy her from Tristan so we could release her, but Kane said there was no way Tristan would ever sell her, no matter the price.
"Can't we just break her out of there?"
she asked with a raspy breath. "We can't do that either. One of her friends was taken too, and Tristan is threatening to kill her if Adelina pulls something. So we can't help her escape. If she runs, the friend dies."
"God."
She rubbed the ridges of her eyebrows with her thumb and forefinger. "So, there's nothing Kane and I can do. I just wanted you to know we discussed it, and also, Kane treats her well. Whenever Adelina says no, he listens. Since he wasn't getting any action from her, he decided to return her to Tristan. But she begged him to let her stay, and said she would give him a reason to keep her. I didn't need to explain further than that, because being with Kane is much more preferable to Tristan. Kane thinks he's doing her a favor more than anything else. She crossed her arms over her chest, her eyes still wet. I expected something from her, not an apology, but something. I stared her down as I waited for her to say something. I was tired of the distance between us. We needed to be husband and wife again. We needed to be happy. I'd never been happy before in my life, and Pearl introduced me to the sensation. She made me laugh, made me smile. Now I was dependent on her like a drug addict on cocaine. I wasn't me without her.
I hate knowing someone else is going through what I went through. I've never told you.
And I don't want to know. Even before I fell in love with her, I didn't want the details. Now that she was my entire world, the thought of anyone hurting her made me so angry I felt sick. Ignorance wasn't just bliss in my situation, it was a lifesaver.
I can't just turn the other way.
I tried, Button. I'd be willing to pay a lot of money just to make my wife happy. Button didn't understand how rare that was. I'd be willing to give millions just to save a woman I'd never met. It was ridiculous.
That poor woman. I know exactly how she feels.
I tried to be as sympathetic as possible, but feelings weren't my forte. I know. But don't feel guilty about it. We tried to figure out a way to get her out of there, but there's no solution. Let's just move on.
You would never move on if she were me.
I held her gaze and suddenly noticed the way my wedding ring felt on my left hand. I don't love this woman. There's only one woman in the world I've ever loved, and I would do anything for her. When she closed her eyes, two tears fell. I hated it. I hated it so fucking much. Pearl left her couch and finally joined me on mine. She straddled my hips and wrapped her arms around my neck before she rested her face beside mine. She didn't burst into tears, but she sniffled here and there. I rubbed her back and treasured the feeling of my wife pressed against me. I'd been deprived of her affection for a short time, but it was too long. I closed my eyes and treasured the scent of her skin, the softness of her hair. I wish I ruled the world, so I could give you everything you want. She tightened her arms around me.
I know.
Chapter 16. Kane.
I knew how Pearl would take the news, but I wasn't prepared for how shitty it would make me feel. She slapped me harder than my own mother had because there was so much hate packed into the strike. If Crow hadn't pulled her off me, she probably wouldn't have stopped. I loved Pearl like a sister, truly, but that love didn't stop my lust for Adelina. I was in full awareness that my actions were wrong. I was providing asylum in exchange for sexy blowjobs and dry humps and eventually sex. The right thing to do would be to leave the poor woman alone until she had to return to Tristan. But I didn't want to leave her alone. I wanted to fuck her all over my house. I went to work for most of the day while Adelina stayed inside the enormous house along the countryside. I was torn between thinking about her and Pearl. My mind went from picturing Adelina's tits to Pearl's pissed-off expression. Like an angel and devil sitting on my shoulders, I was torn between the two. I arrived at the house later that night, long after the sun had set over the Tuscan fields. My Jaguar sat in the driveway, and I walked into the house, seeing most of the lights were on, probably because Adelina flipped them on. I walked into the kitchen first and saw her standing in front of the refrigerator. She immediately shut the door like she'd been caught doing something she shouldn't. I set my keys and wallet on the counter. "You can eat whatever you want. I said that already." I didn't treat her like a slave. I hated it when she acted like it. But some habits died hard. She'd recently taken a shower because her hair was damp. It was nearly dry, and it framed her face in a different way than usual. Her cheeks had a little more color because of the warm water, and her eyes sparkled because she clearly felt comfortable being clean on a regular basis. What aroused me the most was the fact that she was wearing my sweatpants and t-shirt. It was unflattering to her curvy frame, but it still got my imagination going. I pictured her pulling on my clothes after she rode my cock for the night. Now I was hard. She pulled out a few things from the fridge and started to make a sandwich. I stood there and watched her smear the mustard onto the Italian bread, imagining licking that yellow sauce away from her mouth. After my horrible conversation with Pearl, I still desired this woman when I shouldn't. But now all I could think about was kissing her, pressing her against the kitchen island and moving my hands to her womanly hips. Making out wasn't high on my list of fantasies, but I really enjoyed kissing her. I wasn't sure why. When she realized I was staring at her, she looked up. The knife was still held in her hand, stained with the yellow mustard. She knew something was coming, and she waited for it. I walked around the counter until I was right by her side. I noticed the way her breathing picked up, the way her plush chest lifted with the deep breath she took. She pressed her lips together, and when she opened them again, I saw the way her lips stuck together before they finally dragged apart. I came up behind her and pressed my back to her chest, my mouth close to her neck. My hands moved to the counter on either side of her, and I didn't bother taking the knife from her hand. She wouldn't stab me with it, even if her friend weren't being held captive. She wouldn't hurt me because she liked me, even if she wouldn't admit it. I finally pressed my lips against her skin and gave her a soft kiss, softer than a butterfly landing on a rose petal. But her reaction was as strong as an avalanche. She inhaled again, shivering the second my mouth came into contact with her body. My mouth moved over her ear, and I let my warm breath drift across the opening, wanting her to hear my arousal. My lips found the shell of her ear and pressed a gentle kiss there. I loved feeling her reactions to me, feeling her tighten and relax simultaneously. My hands moved to her hips through the loose fabric, and I slowly turned her around. She didn't fight me, but she took her time facing me. When we were face to face, she looked into my eyes with parted lips. Her chest still rose and fell at a rapid rate, and I remembered exactly how those hard nipples felt against my chest when I grinded on top of her. My hand moved up her body, purposely feeling the outline of her tit through the fabric of her shirt and up to her cheek. My fingers cupped her face, and my thumb ran along her bottom lip, feeling the softness against the pad of my skin. My pinky could feel the strong pulse in her neck, her quickened heartbeat under my touch. There was no repulsion or disdain in her expression. She was practically begging me to kiss her. I just wished she would beg me to fuck her too. I crowded her against the kitchen island until I could feel the swell of her breasts against my chest. If I pushed hard enough, I could feel her nipples press through the fabric. My lips were just inches from hers, but I didn't kiss her. I closed my eyes and treasured the feel of her warm breath falling on my skin. I'd never paused to kiss just to feel the anticipation a little longer. I'd never felt the prickle of my skin, the excitement in my veins like this. "Tell me to kiss you." I wanted to listen to her want me, even if it was just pretend. She pressed her soft lips to mine.
"Kiss me."
My mouth returned to hers and our lips fell into perfect harmony. We moved with the same fluidity as last time, our kiss scorching despite how slow it was. I tilted her chin up slightly so I had greater access to that beautiful mouth. Her tongue greeted mine first before her hand wrapped around my wrist. Her thumb pressed right against my pulse. She was the best kisser I'd ever had. No wonder Tristan was obsessed. The kiss continued in the kitchen for minutes, our lips breaking apart with audible noises and groans. There was no way she could kiss me like this and not mean it, not feel the passion that burned between us. She wanted this as much as I did. I could feel it in her kiss, feel her ache. I'd been with a lot of women, and I knew when they wanted me, and when they were paid to want me. She definitely wanted me. Her hands moved to my jeans, and she unbuttoned them without breaking our kiss. My heart spiked with adrenaline when I imagined a sinking into that warm pussy. I wanted to be buried between her thighs for the rest of the night, my cock riding through the slickness my mouth and fingers had met previously. I wanted to pump her full with my cum, but I also wanted her to scream my name with satisfaction. A woman's pleasure wasn't always my priority, but I definitely wanted to make her feel good. I wanted her to know how good sex could be. She pushed my jeans and boxers down until my enormous cock popped out, thick and red at the tip. I already knew how I wanted to take her for the first time. I wanted her in my bedroom, on her back, on top of the sheets. She pulled her lips away from mine, heat in her expression. Her mouth was still slightly parted, and I could see her tongue. Then she slowly lowered herself to her knees. I wanted my dick to get sucked, but I wanted to fuck her more. No. She glanced up at me from the floor, looking a goddamn wet dream. I want you. My meaning was absolutely clear, even if I didn't formally say it. I wanted sex. I wanted to feel the sweat down my back from our writhing bodies. I wanted us to feel connected in the most intimate way possible. It was the first time she hesitated, dropping her gaze. I knew what that meant. She still wasn't ready. I hid my disappointment. All I had to do was threaten to take her back to Tristan, and her legs would be spread in no time. But I wanted her to want me to fuck her into the mattress until she was filled with my cum. Come with me. I pulled her to her feet, then lifted her up into my arms. Her legs wrapped around my waist and her arms hooked around my neck. I kissed her as I carried her to my bedroom upstairs, to a room she'd never entered. My mouth devoured hers all over again and my big dick pressed against her folds. Even if I couldn't have all of her, I was going to have some of her. I set her on the bed, then removed her clothes, yanking everything away because I wanted her naked as soon as possible. When I grabbed her thong and pulled it down her long legs, I stared at the nub at the apex of her thighs. My cock twitched. I wanted that pussy more than anything else in my life. I pulled my shirt over my head and dropped the rest of my clothes. My dick was pointed straight at her, and the head bubbled with arousal. I wanted to slide between her lips and stretch her out to the perfect size. But that would have to wait for another time. I crawled on top of her and kissed her again, feeling our naked bodies touch each other. Her skin was warm and soft, just as it was the last time I devoured her. My hands dug into her as I possessed her. An instant later, my fingers were on her hips, then between her legs. My fingers found her clit, and I rubbed it aggressively as I kissed her. She moaned into my mouth the instant she felt the pressure. I grabbed her hand and wrapped it around my length, telling her what I wanted. Her hand hesitated before she jerked me off, sliding up and down my impressive length and squeezing me with the perfect amount of force. Her thumb brushed over my head and swiped the bead of liquid that formed at the surface. She rubbed it into the rest of my length, lubricating my cock. My tongue was buried in her mouth and my fingers were glued to her pussy. This wasn't exactly what I wanted, but for now it was good enough. She was naked and I was naked. We'd make it work. She panted into my mouth harder the longer I rubbed her. Without being inside her, I knew she was on the verge of climaxing. I knew exactly how a woman liked to be touched, and I was giving it to her in a way Tristan never did. And she gave me the best hand job I'd ever received. As much as my lips wanted to keep kissing her, I broke apart, then lay back on the bed, my body propped up on the pillows. My cock lay against my stomach, tilted slightly to the right. Straddle my hips. She hesitated for a moment, probably assuming I wanted to fuck her even though she said no. But an instant later, she realized I wouldn't do that. If so, I would have done it already. She straddled my hips and rested her pussy right against my dick. I could feel how wet she was. The moisture from her entrance soaked onto my length, warm and sticky. Grind against me. I grabbed her hips and guided her, showing her how to rock her hips and drag her clit along my hard shaft. She moaned the first time she felt me, feeling the kind of friction against her clit that would make her scream. I stared at my cock between her folds and saw my head pointed right at my stomach. He was already soaked in her pussy juice, smooth and slippery. She wanted me, but she still wouldn't let me fuck her. I wasn't sure how much longer I could be a patient man. Her tits shook as she rocked on her own, her mouth wide open as she breathed deeply. At first, her movements were awkward, like she'd never done it before. But after feeling her clit throb harder, she got into it. She gripped my wrists as I held on to her hips, forcing her chest up and her spine to curve. Damn, she was gorgeous. She ground harder against me, her arousal seeping out and reaching my balls. Her nails dug into my skin and left marks that would last for days. I might not be inside that beautiful pussy, but this was just as hot. Bellissima. She clearly had no idea what I said, judging from the quick look of confusion. But that didn't stop her from dragging her pussy back and forth across my length. Her nipples were hardening, and her chest was blushing with redness. Come on my dick, Bellissima. She released my wrists and planted her hands against my chest. It was solid as concrete, and I liked feeling her weight against me. I liked supporting her with my strength while she petted my cock with her pussy. She dug into me harder, her eyes growing lidded and heavy. I'd seen that look a few times now, so I knew she was about to come all over me. Fuck yes. She opened her mouth, but her scream was slightly delayed. When it did reach my ears, it was piercing and loud, but nonetheless beautiful. Her hips jerked on top of me, her pelvic floor contracting with the climax I just gave her. Her nails dug into my chest and nearly punctured the skin with their sharpness. Watching a woman come was my weakness. Seeing her mouth part during a scream and her hair shake as she worked her body to enjoy every last inch of me was my threshold. My hands gripped her tits, and I squeezed her hard as I exploded. Fuck. I squirted onto my stomach, splashing my seed across my skin, but pretending it was deep inside her soaked pussy. She continued to grind against me to make the orgasm last as long as possible, caring about my own pleasure when she didn't have to. I wanted her to sit on top of me just like that forever, her small tits perky and hard, and her hair flowing down her shoulders. She had a petite waist with a cute belly button. I imagined her with a piercing, and that got me excited again. I gently rolled her to the bed, then walked into the bathroom to clean off. I disposed of my cum as well as hers, then got into the shower to clear my head. I had this beautiful woman locked in the house with me, and I still hadn't fucked her. But Jesus Christ, did she make up for it. Fooling around with her was better than any other time I'd gotten laid. I wasn't sure if it was those deep brown eyes or that tight ass, but something about her stole my complete focus. When I came back to bed, she was under the covers and dead asleep. I approached the bedside and stared at her, unsure what to do. If I woke her up and kicked her out, that would make me a huge dick. But if I slept with her, I probably wouldn't get a good night's sleep because I hated sharing my space with people. The only time I shared a bed with someone was when I was in a semi-kind of relationship, and even then, I wasn't happy about it. But I left her alone and went to sleep.
Chapter 17. Adelina. I woke up the next morning in Kane's bed. The sun filtered through the open windows and streaked across the bed. It was early in the morning, but the summer heat was already warm in the bedroom, My eyes barely opened before Cain stirred. He lay on his back with my arm draped over his stomach. His arm rested on top of mine, like we were a couple that slept in each other's arms every single night. He pulled his hand away and moved it through his short hair, his sleepy eyes slowly opening and adjusting to the morning light. I wasn't sure how we'd gotten tangled up like this. Cain propped himself up on one arm and looked down at me, giving his eyes a moment to adjust and take in my features. His facial hair was thicker than it was last night, and he had a few marks along his chest from where I'd punctured him with my nails. He had a little chest hair right between the pecs, and a gunshot wound on his left arm. I wasn't sure if it was a gunshot wound, but I assumed that's what it was. He was a beautiful man. That was the first thing that popped into my head when I looked at him. He had rough eyes that were intimidating, but that somehow added to his overall charm. He was a threat, but not necessarily to everyone. He wasn't chivalrous, but he certainly did his best to make me feel comfortable. I looked up at him and realized I was still naked from the night before. I hadn't put on my clothes again once we were finished. I just closed my eyes and fell asleep. In fact, I had a dreamless night. The last time that happened, I was a free woman. He studied me for another moment before his hand slipped into my hair, and he leaned down and kissed me. It was a soft kiss, a greeting to a new day. His lips brushed against mine like he was adoring them just the way a lover would. My arms automatically locked around his neck in response, and I kissed him back, enjoying those kisses even though I wished I didn't. The hair around his mouth brushed against my skin, giving me a light scratch that I enjoyed. He was just like the others, viewing me as a slave he wanted to screw, then forget about. But my attraction caused my body to do things it shouldn't want to do. And I couldn't help but feel safe with this man. He hadn't put a single chain on me since I walked into his life. I was greeted with a kiss instead of a punch. And he still gave me power over my own destiny. He wasn't good, but he wasn't evil either. His kisses migrated south down the valley between my breasts. He inched farther and farther, heading for the apex of my thighs. His coarse hair rubbed against my skin, and I was eager to feel that same friction between my thighs. No man had ever kissed me down there like that, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't like it. He gently blew on my folds before he ran his tongue over my clit. He circled it before he sucked it into his mouth, giving me the right kind of pressure without taking it too far. My hands gripped the sheets, and I forced myself to stay quiet. I didn't want Cain to understand how much I enjoyed our rendezvous. It made me go against everything I believed in, that I should be a free woman and not in the ownership of whichever man was the richest. I should be repulsed by this, broken by this. His hands moved to my tits, and he gripped them aggressively as he continued to swirl his tongue around my clit. His eyes moved to mine, and the abundant confidence made him sexier than he already was. He knew how to please a woman, and he didn't hide his enormous ego. He wasn't going to stop until I writhed on the bed and came with a howl. I gripped the sheets tighter, then ran my hands through my hair. My back arched on its own as I tried to fight the explosion about to hit me right in my core. But it was getting more difficult by the second. I was on the threshold, and the more I fought it, the more I made it build up. My fingers locked around his strong wrists, feeling the corded veins and the chiseled muscle of his forearms. I could feel each individual muscle move as he massaged my tits in his hands. When he sucked on my clit harder, I couldn't hold myself back any longer. I howled like an animal, my screams echoing in his large bedroom. One of the windows was open, and thankfully, there were no nearby neighbors who could hear my screams. We hadn't spoken a word to each other, but we greeted one another just the way lovers did. I started off my morning in a warm bed with my arm wrapped around my captor, and it ended with an orgasm that made my legs shake. Kane moved back up my body and held his powerful body on top of mine. I could see the sheen from the arousal that was just between my legs. He rubbed his nose against mine before he kissed me, making me taste my own arousal on his lips. He kept his eyes open as he looked deep inside me. I'm losing my patience, Bellissima, and I'm not a very patient man to begin with. He pulled away with narrowed eyes, silently telling me not to call his bluff. He got out of bed with a hard dick, but no intention of making it soft again. I knew I was taking too long to give him what he wanted. It was nice of him to give me time at all, but instead of thinking about that, I fixated on one thing. What does bellissima mean? I didn't know a single word of Italian. He pulled a t-shirt over his head, then ran his hand through his hair. There's keys and cash in the kitchen drawer downstairs. Go to the store and pick up dinner. You're my woman, and I expect you to cook for me. Something like that would have offended me in my former life, the assumption that because I was a woman I belonged in the kitchen. But I had bigger fish to fry. You're gonna let me leave? You'll come back, he said confidently. And pick up whatever you want for yourself. After I picked up groceries and placed them in the truck, I sat in the car and broke down into tears. It was so sudden that I didn't see it coming. I never thought I would drive a car again. I never thought I would do something so normal as go to the grocery store. It felt like I had a life again, even if it wasn't real. I returned home and worked in the kitchen, still feeling the tightness in my chest. I was cooking dinner for a man I didn't know, but I actually felt a glimmer of hope. After being beaten on a daily basis and being fucked by three men at once, this was a vacation. I was in a beautiful house I could roam whenever I wanted. I had rights as a woman, as a human being. I felt grateful toward the man who did business with Tristan, even though he really hadn't done anything to help me. He just wasn't as bad as Tristan. I'd never been so confused in my life. I considered myself to be a strong person. When someone pushed me down, I got back up. I always put up a fight, even if my opponent was three times as strong. The mind was the strongest muscle in the body, and I never let anyone take my logic and reasoning away. These men could do whatever they wanted to my body, but they could never take my mind. But now I was being tested. I didn't know how to cook that well, and I had no idea what kind of culinary finery Kane was used to, so I made lasagna and a salad. Since he was Italian, hopefully that would be enough for him. He walked in the door just when dinner was ready. He wore a black t-shirt that fit his muscularity well, along with his rugged handsomeness, and it was hard to deny that he was one of the sexiest men I'd ever laid eyes on. If we'd met in a different life, I probably would have already slept with him by now. He had the kind of looks I used to dream about when I was a little girl. Like Prince Charming, but with a darker hue. So absorbed in his masculine beauty, I had forgotten to say anything. Dinner is ready. You want to eat now? He tossed his keys on the small table, then came around the counter. The kitchen was enormous, enough for 10 cooks at once. Most people would kill for this kind of luxury, but it didn't seem important to him. The closer he came to me, the more my breathing changed. My hair stood on end, and the lights from the ceiling suddenly felt brighter than they did a second ago. He stopped when he was right beside me and moved his fingers under my chin. Gently, he forced my face to turn his way so he could greet me with a kiss. It was the new way he greeted me. Not that I minded. When his eyes settled on my face, the affection in his eyes died away. He dropped his hand and stared me down like he saw something he didn't like.
"What's wrong?"
"Nothing," I said quickly, thinking about my breakdown in the car. I turned back to the parsley on the cutting board and grabbed the knife again.
"I'm talking to you."
He snatched the knife out of my hand and slid it across the counter where I couldn't grab it again.
"Now look at me."
I hesitated at the authority in his voice. I was used to the gentler side of him. It was ignorant to think he wasn't ruthless like all the others. If Tristan respected him, he had to be a barbarian too. When he didn't get his way, he snatched me by the neck and forced me to look him in the eye. His grip was hard like steel, and he yanked on me as if I were a stuffed animal. It was the cruelest he'd ever been. He stepped closer to me, his gaze burning into my face.
"You were crying. Why?"
"I wasn't crying."
"Don't lie to me. I don't lie to you, so give me the same respect."
His fingers were still tied against the vein in my neck. I could feel it throb against his fingertips. "You wouldn't understand." He finally released my neck now that he had my full attention. His hand slid down my back until it rested against the steep curve just above my ass.
"You'd be surprised. Now talk to me. You know, I can be your friend if you give me a chance."
"My friend? I was loaned out to him for a month. It was a weird foundation for a friendship. When I went to the grocery store, I remembered what it was like to be free. The sun was warm on my face. I had keys in my hand. I had a life again. I never thought I would feel that again." Kane's hard features slowly softened until he looked at me differently. It was the same expression he wore when he sat across the table from me at Tristan's house. When Tristan punched me, he pitied me. When Tristan took my food away, he encouraged him to let me eat. That compassionate man had returned.
"No one should ever have to feel that way. I'm sorry."
I heard the sincerity in his voice because it was unmistakable, and he told me he wouldn't lie to me again. "You think I should be free?" His fingers slowly rubbed against the back of my shirt. His face turned until his mouth was directly next to my shoulder. He seemed to contemplate kissing me, but changed his mind.
"I'm not a big fan of the practice, I'll say that much."
"Then why did you take me?" If he was so averse to it, he could have denied Tristan's offer. Maybe he took me just to spare me a month of extra torture. But that seemed too selfless for a man who had other things to worry about. He stared at me with his dark eyes, his powerful shoulders stiff with his impending response.
"I wanted you the moment I laid eyes on you. If I were a stronger man, I would have turned down the offer. But I'm not."
His hand wrapped around my waist, and he positioned me into his chest, my tits against his muscular torso.
"I took you because I wanted to fuck you. Plain and simple. When it's time to return you, I'll drop you off without looking back. Well, I'm sorry this has happened to you. There's nothing I can do to help you."
"Nothing?" I whispered. He shook his head.
"I can't buy you from him. You aren't for sale. And I can't help you escape because of your friend. There's no solution."
No, there wasn't.
If I were you, I'd forget about your friend. She's either dead or has been sold to another man. In either situation, Tristan has no power over her. I flinched at the cold comment he just made. The fact that he was probably right just made me feel worse. A knot formed in my stomach. You should slit my throat in the middle of the night and run. That's what I would do. I stared into his eyes and believed every word he said. You're encouraging me to murder you? I'm encouraging you to fight, Bellissima. I know a woman who was in the same situation you're in now, and she never gave up, not once.
Did she escape?
He nodded. She found her home. I knew how this night was going to end. Cain was finally going to have me, because I was going to let him. I couldn't drag out the inevitable much longer. Everything else we'd done together, I'd enjoyed. Maybe he could perform a miracle and make me enjoy sex, too, even though I doubted it. I'd been fucked cruelly since the day Tristan bought me, and any time I thought about having sex with a man, it made me shake. I knew Cain would be different, but that didn't chase away the anxiety. I had post-traumatic stress disorder from the incidents. Anytime I even thought about it, I had a panic attack. Cain stared at me most of the time over dinner. We sat at the large dining table in front of the window that faced the gardens in the backyard. It was too large for just two people. It was still too big for even 10 people.
It's good.
He ate much slower than I expected him to. Tristan and his men devoured their food like starving wolves. I had to sit there and watch them feast on delicacies while they threw scraps on the floor and made me eat them like a dog.
Thank you for making it.
He didn't give me much of a choice. I'm glad you like it.
I need a woman to cook for me. My brother has a butler. Now I understand why.
What did you do before? He shrugged.
Since I was in the city, I just walked into town and picked something up.
Then why did you move out here?
An investment, change of scenery. My brother has a place in the fields, and it's nice.
He'd mentioned his brother twice now. Are you close with him? He shrugged.
I'd die for him, but we fight a lot.
Interest in response. Do you see him often?
We work together, so I see him more than I'd like to.
I wondered if his brother knew I existed. With the business you're doing with Tristan? He nodded.
He also runs a winery in western Tuscany. That's how he launders a lot of our money.
Oh. I took another bite of my food. Does he know about me?
Yeah. Wasn't happy about it.
Because he's against trafficking?
He is, but that wasn't why he was pissed. He's angry Tristan won't be paying us up front. He'll get over it.
I hoped there would be people out there appalled at my treatment, but no one seemed to care.
I see.
I took another bite even though I was full. All I could think about was what would happen once dinner was over. My heart rate wouldn't slow down, and sweat formed on the back of my neck and my palms. He took a bite of the bread, his eyes trained on me the entire time. Instead of drinking wine, he had a glass of scotch. I'd never seen him drink anything else besides that and water.
I want to know more about you.
What do you want to know?
How old are you?
I had a birthday not too long ago. I didn't know exactly when it occurred because I was locked up in a bedroom with no grasp of time.
23?
What were you doing when you were captured?
I remembered that day vividly.
Lizzie and I graduated college, and we planned a trip to Greece to celebrate. We were only there for a day when we got in the back of a taxi and sacks were pulled over our heads. I thought about my family, who were probably still searching for me.
What were you studying?
Liberal arts. I want to be a fourth grade teacher. I noticed the tense I used and realized my ambitions would never happen now. I would die at the hands of my captor. One day he would hit me a little too hard and cave my skull in. My body would be dumped into the ocean, and no one would ever find me then. Kane drank his scotch and licked his lips.
Teaching a bunch of brats for shit pay doesn't sound like fun to me.
They aren't brats, and I don't care about the pay.
Everyone cares about the pay.
Not true. As long as I had a place to live and food on the table, I'd be happy. It didn't take much to make a home besides love, friends, and family. Kane didn't pressure the argument.
You were a virgin until you turned 23?
That was a sore subject. I don't want to talk about it. Kane may own me, but he couldn't get me to talk if I didn't want to. He kept his fingers around his glass.
Why not?
I nearly rolled my eyes. I think that's obvious.
Don't people say it's better to talk about things? Get them off our chests?
You aren't my shrink.
I'm the best you're going to get.
He uncapped the decanter and poured the scotch into my glass, even though I never asked for any.
Come on, talk to me.
Why do you want to talk to me? You said you want to fuck me. So fuck me, and that's it. I didn't know why I was being so hostile when Kane was pleasant to me most of the time.
And I intend to, sooner rather than later. But a nice conversation wouldn't hurt.
I pushed my food around with my fork.
Still not gonna talk, huh?
Why don't you tell me something really personal about yourself? I demanded. Maybe I'm loaned out to you for the month, but that certainly doesn't mean you own me.
My life isn't that interesting, he said. And the only reason why I ask is because you seem pretty experienced. Best blowjob I've ever gotten.
My cheeks immediately blushed when I had no room for vanity.
Doesn't seem like you're as innocent as you claim.
Well, I am. Or, I was.
You were waiting for the right guy? Or marriage or something?
He would have something rude to say about my response, but he wasn't going to drop this, so I might as well say it. I wasn't looking for the right guy. I was looking for the perfect guy. The Prince Charming to sweep me off my feet and make me stupid in love. Kane's expression didn't change. I've always been a hopeless romantic. He drank his scotch again.
I'm sorry it didn't work out the way you wanted.
I was surprised he didn't say something cold. His sympathy seemed genuine, and I appreciated his compassion. Tristan never showed an ounce of it. He kicked me in the face and still didn't pity me. I know that sounds stupid, but that's how I feel.
I don't think it sounds stupid. My sister-in-law said the exact same thing to my brother. Falling in love is what most women want. But I don't think many of them ever get it. It's better to keep their expectations realistic. All men want is good sex. And when they find a woman that gives that to them, that's when they stick around. Love really doesn't have anything to do with it, even if they claim it does.
That was a cold outlook on romance. By that logic, you're saying your brother doesn't love his wife. He drank his scotch again.
He does. I just think it took him a long time to get to that point. At one instance, she left him. That's when he realized he couldn't live without her, So he finally gave her what she wanted.
Which was?
Love.
He finished the last few bites of his lasagna, then wiped the corner of his mouth with the cloth napkin.
So you aren't alone. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, I'm never gonna have that now, so I may as well forget about it. Kane's eyes softened in sympathy, but he didn't give any other outward reaction.
If the situations were reversed, you really think your friend would stick around for you?
I didn't hesitate. Yes. He raised an eyebrow.
If she saw an escape route, you think she would ignore it just to spare your life? Even though your life isn't worth living anyway?
As true as it was harsh.
Yes.
He shook his head.
When people are put in a difficult situation, they always take the easy route. You should try to get out while you can. She would do the same.
You don't know her.
And if it were me, I'd tell my friend to run and leave me behind. No sense in both of us suffering.
I knew I would tell her the same thing if I could. If she saw an opportunity, I'd want her to take it.
And if you escaped, you could go to the authorities and turn Tristan in.
She'd be dead by then. He gave me a sad look.
Sweetheart, she's dead now.
My body turned ice cold when the possibility hit me. Someone may have already snapped her neck or caved her skull in. I remained a prisoner for no reason, and my fate would be identical to hers. I just can't, all right. She's been my best friend since fifth grade. He sighed with disappointment.
I tried.
Why are you convincing me to run? Don't you want me to stay here?
Of course I do. I like coming home to a beautiful woman every day. But I have a heart underneath this cold exterior. I'm just trying to give you some friendly advice. Take it or don't. I don't give a damn.
He set his empty glass down, then cleared the plates. He took them to the sink and rinsed them off. I sat there with my back turned to him, his words sinking into my skin. I listened to the water run and the dishes clank together. I should offer to do the dishes, but my legs didn't feel like moving. He turned off the water.
Go to my room in 15 minutes.
He gave a strong command, leaving no room for argument. He'd given me a week to prepare for this moment, and he wasn't going to give me another day. I knew what would come next.
And you better be naked.
I stripped everything off, but I took my time when it came to my thong. Once that was gone, I would be truly bare. He'd seen me naked before, had done intimate things to my body. But this would be different. It would change everything. I walked to his bedroom, feeling my bare feet tap against the hardwood along the way. The muscles of my back were tight around my spine, making my entire body rigid with tension. Tristan forced me to do things against my will, things I despised. But as I walked farther into Kane's room, I felt the heat form between my legs. It was delicate, but it was growing hotter with every step I took. I wanted this, but I also didn't want this. His door was cracked, and I could see the light from the fire glow against the walls and form shadows in the corners. I pressed my palm against the mahogany wood and gave it a gentle push. It swung inward without making a sound. The house solidly built with Italian craftsmanship and quality. The blankets had been yanked to the bottom, so only the sheets and pillows remained behind. He had a large hearth that faced his bed, and it was nearly as big as the one in his living room. With white paneling and original moldings, it looked like a fireplace for a king. A painting hung above it, a naked woman lying in a field of sunflowers. Instead of finding the image gratuitous, I actually liked it. With a lazy expression, she looked up into the light filtering through the oak tree just above her, butterflies flitting around her. It represented peace, a stage of existence I couldn't recall anymore. I was jealous of this woman, of her peaceful acceptance of life and death. Kane walked out of the bathroom in his black boxers.